Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. It's 7:16 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. This is Galesburg Live, and it's Saturday, July 20th. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm Will Stevenson. Gosh, it's been a while through to schedule changes and other things that I've actually done this program. I think I've forgotten what it's like. Fortunately, I have a couple of great guests in the next 2 hours to help remind me of what it is I'm supposed to do here. Coming up in our second hour this morning at 8:15, we're going to talk with Mark Thomas, the owner of Watson Thomas Funeral Home in Galesburg. We'll talk about his career, his passion, and perhaps things you might be thinking about in terms of planning for a funeral at some point in the future. We'll have that and more coming up. He's also the Knox County coroner, so we may touch on that a little bit. But first, in this hour this morning, I'm pleased to welcome Galesburg Mayor John Pritchard, who, of course, also owns this place. And that microphone he's sitting at right now. Good morning, sir. Welcome.
Good morning, Will. Nice to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you this morning. I like to try to get you in a couple of times a year to talk about city business, so that's why you're here this morning. And as luck would have it, you're preparing to leave town, I presume, on city business today.
Yes, the Illinois Municipal League is having a board meeting in Macomb that starts at 9:30, so as soon as I'm done here, I'll scoot off to that meeting.
So what you're saying is that you don't ever get the weekend off from being mayor.
No.
No. Well, darn the luck on that, but right. We know that's important. That's important city business again, for sure. And speaking of the Illinois Municipal League, maybe I'll just start with the first thing I was thinking of talking to you about this morning. You and the Municipal League, I know, had been concerned about legislators in Springfield and talking about pension reform. And there was a proposal in this last legislative session to move police and fire pensions into the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund that, quite frankly, didn't get anywhere. That must have been disappointing to you.
Well, it was a big disappointment because, you know, I've been, since I've been mayor, I've looked into this whole issue of the police and fire pensions, and, you know, there's like 656 downstate police and fire separate funds in the state of Illinois, and the return on investment that the IMRF, which is the primary pension fund for most city employees, has been so much dramatically better over the long term that it would just be such a positive impact for taxpayers if we could get that job done. This spring, of course, the air was kind of sucked out of the room because, you know, they were dealing with recreational marijuana and the capital bill and a number of other things. So this just got this pension reform got laid by the wayside.
Why do you? You just answered it, I think, but why do you think that was? Why it seems like with all the other reforms and other things that even Governor Pritzker was proposing and was able to, frankly, in some cases, shove through the legislature, why didn't this get to be one of them, do you think?
Well, I guess it just wasn't on the top of his agenda. Hmm. I do think there's ongoing discussions and work on the project, so I'm still hopeful that eventually something will get done. You know, frankly, it means, in terms of just Galesburg taxpayers, yeah. This we're talking about like $1.5 million change in the investment return, which means that's a lessening of the burden for Galesburg taxpayers.
And make no mistake about it, I think Galesburg's situation is that of a lot of other cities in Illinois. It's that other administrations had stretched out pension payments, or as the old saying goes, kicking the can down the road in some cases. And it's just gotten to be to a point, I imagine, where it's almost untenable.
Yeah, Galesburg, we're probably in the middle of the pack as far as the difficulty that we're in. There's many cities that are much worse off than we are. But what's happened with police and fire pensions now, and it's true in the city of Springfield already, is, you know, the entire property tax revenue that comes to the city equals the pension liability.
That's right. Yeah, that's the entirety of their property tax. Right. Money goes to that. Yeah.
So you're left to try and run the rest of the city, you know, fire operations, police operations, water department, all those other things have to be done through with other revenue sources like sales tax and so forth.
Yeah, and I know from my time down there, there were a lot of efforts to try to, unfortunately or unfortunately, raise some of those taxes so that some of that burden was lessened. But it's not gotten much better across the state, has it?
No. And I think, you know, Illinois is, you know, I think we're the second highest property tax state in the union. We have very high property taxes across the state. And, you know, now we're seeing substantial increases in the income tax and fuel tax and so forth. And I think, you know, it's the burden on the taxpayers is just getting out of control.
But there's still sort of, I think, maybe a fine line that has to be balanced, right, in terms of maybe being a bit reasonable about those sorts of things, but yet funding city services, right?
Yes, that's always the issue. Obviously, you can't say, well, you know what, I guess we just won't have a police department this year. You know, those aren't options. So you have to balance a number of things. The city council over the last few years have taken a moderate approach by, you know, increasing certain little fees and taxes, using reserves, and cutting programs and staff. You know, the city of Galesburg has about 20 less full-time employees than it did 6 years ago.
In terms of that long term, have we seen any problems in terms of having less staff, or have operations, as far as you can tell, been pretty well?
Well, we haven't. I mean, we haven't cut. You know, we've been cutting fat, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But we're getting down to where there's not a lot of fat left.
Yeah.
Now we're getting into talking about bone and muscle, and that's not good. But there are always ways to, you know, to look at things and try and figure out what are priorities and what aren't priorities, and move ahead. You know, we've got some new council members, and we haven't started the budget process for next year yet in terms of at the council level. And we'll see what their feeling is about how to proceed.
Let's pause right there. We'll take a break and come back and talk more with Mayor John Pritchard of Galesburg here as Galesburg Live continues on WGIL.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
It's 7:25 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Live continues. I'm Will Stevenson, shamelessly plugging the fact that I'm also the host of Galesburg's Evening News, weeknights from 5 to 6 p.m. Had some good conversations in there the last couple of weeks, including yesterday. If you didn't hear it, we talked with the head of a New York-based foundation that's paying the mortgage of a fallen Fulton County Sheriff's Deputy's family, Troy Chisholm. That's something they do, among other things, across the country, in a foundation that was set up after 9/11. You can hear that in our on-air conversations page at WGIL.com. But now, Galesburg Mayor John Pritchard continues to join us. John, we've been talking about some ways that you've cut things over the years in Galesburg, and you're getting to the point where you can't do that anymore in terms of the city budget. But one area that's gotten a bit of attention, like it or not, is the situation with the city treasurer. It's a part-time position. It's a 12 grand a year job. There has not been, before this week, I think, an appointed city treasurer for a while since Elijah French resigned. He's been critical of the fact that you didn't appoint anyone, but it sounds to me like you've said all along, what's the point?
Right. Yeah. You know, when I took office, the city treasurer's office had a treasurer and a deputy treasurer, and the budget for that operation was about $165,000 a year. And
administrative costs?
Well, for salaries primarily, yeah. And certain other, indirect costs like, you know, health benefits and so forth. So that $165,000 a year, the function of the treasurer's office was to make deposits. And, you know, many years ago when cities didn't have finance directors and finance offices, the city treasurer was kind of a thing that made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Today, however, it's just you know, it doesn't make sense. And we, when reviewing it and talking to the external auditors and so forth of the city, you know, we found out that most cities our size, the city treasurer is an unpaid appointed position, and usually it's the finance director of the city. And that's where we've been headed. Now, we, you know, we took it from a full-time $75,000 a year salary down to a $12,500 last time. Mm-hmm. And now we have an ordinance that'll be on second reading at the next council meeting that deals with, you know, making an unpaid position an appointed. And which really kind of just puts us in kind of a standard practice among most cities our size. And, you know, you know, I know there's been some critics out there concerned about the, you know, the treasurer's office provides a control function or an audit function, and that's just not the case. They don't do audits of the city. They don't do audits of the finance department.
You have separate auditors.
And we have separate auditors that do that. And we've been very, at least I've been very careful to talk to the auditors over the last several years to make sure that the finance department is operated properly, duties are segregated in a proper fashion so that, you know, the city's funds are protected from malfeasance.
So it sounds like what you're telling me is that in this period where there technically hasn't been a city treasurer, that everything's been just fine.
Yes, everything's been just fine.
The city finance director and her office, Gloria Osborne's office, has done a lot of that. And I imagine, were they doing a lot of that work, either officially or unofficially, while there was a treasurer in place?
Well, there were, you know, in my time horizon, the city treasurer's office was doing the deposits. Now it's being done by the finance department. Mm-hmm. The only other function that the treasurer performed was they issued a report. They signed a report that was delivered to the council, but the finance department prepared the report.
Hmm. So it seems, it just seems like wasted government for lack
of
a better term.
There's an example where, again, many years ago when there didn't exist the kind of sophisticated finance department that cities now have, the city's treasurer position as an elected position, paid full-time position, made a lot of sense. Today it just doesn't make any sense.
Should someone had been appointed to become city treasurer even as you figured out and moved toward the process of officially eliminating the position?
Well, that might, I had the authority to make an appointment and subject to approval of the council, mm-hmm. but I just couldn't bring myself to waste the money.
Yeah. So, and as you said, if everything's running fine, you know, what's the big deal? Although it seemed to me like some people were adamant that the position be filled for the sake of filling a position, not necessarily because it was important.
I'll just say it's probably more of a politically motivated kind of a thing than it has to do with operating a city government on a good professional basis.
And maybe I'm just skeptical, but it seemed to come up during the period of the municipal elections here a couple of months ago. And it just, you know, regardless of the issue and regardless of what side you stand on an issue like that, guys, that just, you know, I frankly, I'm not stupid. It was a political play, wasn't it?
Sure. Yeah. And that's fine. That's, you know, that comes with the territory.
Yeah.
But my judgment has been to not waste taxpayers' money when I can do so.
Right, exactly. So this was, again, discussed recently by the council on first reading, and we'll come up here again, what, a week from Monday or so?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What's the feel of the council at this point on that?
Well, everybody, you know, everybody I've talked to seems to be supportive of the idea. You know, it's, like I said, it's, gosh, I'm trying to remember the exact details, but I think when we talked to our auditors a few years back, mm-hmm. you know, they said, you know, 24 cities, municipalities that we audit in Illinois, 23 of them have an appointed treasurer. We are the one that has an elected treasurer.
Well, there's something to be said about standing out in the field.
Well,
right?
There you go. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, and, you know, and again, you know, my background, of course, is I've been involved in audits of companies for many, many years.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, chairman of audit committees at different banks over the years in the past. And so I'm very familiar with audits and controls and having the proper systems. And in this case, the treasurer's office was really pretty redundant.
Exactly.
Entirely redundant.
Redundantly redundant.
Yes.
It's 7:32. I need to take another break. We're talking with Galesburg Mayor John Pritchard. We'll talk more about what's gone right in the city, infrastructure and other things. Economic development, again, seems to me like it's been a big win here in the last half year. We'll talk about that and more coming up.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
At 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Live continues. Good morning. I'm glad you're with us this morning. I'm Will Stevenson. In about 40 minutes or so, we'll talk with Mark Thomas, the owner of Watson Thomas Funeral Home in Galesburg. We'll talk about the funeral business and his career and perhaps some other matters as well. But glad to spend this first hour this morning talking with Mayor John Pritchard. Again, thanks for getting up even earlier than you had to today to make a meeting in Macomb.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, appreciate it for sure. I wanted to get your perspective on something that this doesn't necessarily apply to the city, but I know that you and the Pritchard family and have been a part of the city and its history for an awfully long time. We've covered this week the beginning of the demolition of the Zephyr Dome at Lombard Middle School with the former Lombard College gym there. And as that's happened, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, that the district should have probably done more to preserve the building or make it useful, or it's another historic structure coming down in Galesburg was something I heard a lot. I imagine from your perspective, is it difficult to kind of balance that sort of need to maybe keep some of the history of the city alive versus progress, I guess?
Yeah, it's always a difficult balance because generally preservation of these older buildings, which are beautiful buildings, the preservation costs are just enormous, you know, compared to, you know, demolition and building a new structure. I mean, we deal with that all the time. I was in Macomb last night and there was an old hotel called the Lemoyne that had sat empty for a number of years, and they just found a developer, and the city of Macomb pitched in $750,000 of TIF funds, and it's a beautiful restored historic building now. You know, it's a $7.5 million project, and it's basically now kind of a senior center, living center, so housing for, you know, like 44 units. So it's very tough. I've never actually been in the Lombard building.
Kidding.
No, I've been out on the field playing football and in the school, but I've never been in that dome. I went to Churchill, of course. So my wife, I'm sure, who was a Lombard grad, was in the facility back in the 70s or maybe late 60s. But yeah, it's a real challenge. And, you know, the city council just took that up with 120 East Main Street, the building next to Park Plaza. You know, the decision, well, first of all, you know, from a financial perspective, it actually turned out to be cheaper to repair the wall and put a new roof on it than it was to demo it.
That doesn't always happen often, right?
That doesn't happen often, but it's an example where the council chose to preserve the building. Hopefully it'll find a strong reuse. And but on the other hand, you know, like the West Theater property, that building had deteriorated to the point where it was just not feasible to renovate it.
And I kind of saw the point of Dr. Asplund when he was on Galesburg's Evening News this week talking about saying, you know, maybe more should have been done even starting as early as the 60s to try to preserve the Zephyr Dome, say, and keep it up and running. But on the other hand, you know, the district ultimately isn't in the business of building preservation.
Right. Yeah. No, the district is in the business of trying to educate our young people. And they utilize a lot of different things and buildings and so forth and teachers to accomplish that. But yeah, you know, generally, neglect of buildings and putting off, you know, maintenance is what leads to the demise of structures. And I don't know the specifics about that building at Lombard, but you know, I've seen it a number of times where buildings are, they just let them go too long, and then the damage is too great to renovate.
And I think that's kind of leads to where people say, oh, they Galesburg, you know, tears down all of its history and things like that. But it's not necessarily the city or any one entity's fault most of the time, is it?
Well, no, except to Dr. Asplund's point, if maintenance had commenced in the 60s and been done over a time, maybe the building would be useful. Maybe it wouldn't be useful.
Well, it was useful as a bat sanctuary for years.
Yes.
Apparently.
Well, apparently. Yeah. Well, but yeah. So you have to make choices. One of the things that I've kind of been a force behind is as a city as suffered, kind of constrained budgets, over the long term, they put off a lot of building maintenance.
A lot of deferred maintenance.
Yeah, right? Which I think is the easier route to go.
Yeah.
But it's not the wisest route. So, I can't list them all, but you'll see that, more money's been put into building maintenance in the last few years. So that we don't end up in the situation like with the
pensions.
Yeah.
You're kicking the can down the road
again.
Yeah,
and so forth. So there's, if you're going to, you have to own buildings, they're useful, and you have to maintain them at a reasonable level. They don't have to be Taj Mahals, but by gosh, you should make sure that the walls aren't falling down.
And I think if the city was truly in the business of just tearing down buildings and not preserving history or whatever, we wouldn't have something like a landmark commission, right?
Right. And yeah, that group promotes, the preservation of buildings and residential buildings in particular. And it's a challenge for every city to try and maintain older structures. Mm-hmm. And we've been fortunate to have a few people that have decided to invest in their homes and renovate these beautiful old structures, and that's a wonderful thing, and the city wants to promote that. But also, in the city of Galesburg, we have quite a few homes that are now no longer habitable that really need to go.
And that's something that you've focused on quite a bit over the last couple of years. Where are we at with that at this point?
Well, we've got that project in place where we're hopefully going to increase the amount of demolitions of these bad homes. Mm-hmm. And if that's one thing that I've learned by talking to people in various areas, people are just, very concerned and upset about these abandoned homes in their neighborhoods. It hurts the value of their homes. It makes people feel unsafe. But we also are developing programs to help people who, let's say you're an older person on a fixed income and your roof is going bad and you just don't have the resources to pay $8,000-$12,000 to replace the roof. We think it's in long-term best interest of the city to help those people out, mm-hmm. get a new roof on their house, as opposed to letting the house turn into another one of these uninhabitable places.
And not that this is the fairest comparison, but then there are entities like, the Project Rebounds that rehab and rebuild homes, and Christmas in Action and things like that, too.
Wonderful projects. There's so many people doing so many good things to try and make Galesburg a better place. Project Rebounds is a great example. And, of course, Christmas in April is another example. But there's just so many examples of volunteer efforts by our members of our community who are trying to improve in different ways the city. It's wonderful to see.
You mentioned Park Plaza, and
yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that after another break here. We are talking with Galesburg Mayor John Pritchard on Galesburg Live. It's 7:47. We'll be back with one more segment with the mayor next on WGIL. Good morning.
Galesburg's News, Galesburg's Talk, 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
/7:52 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. This is Galesburg Live. You don't need to know why we were laughing. Trust me. I'm Will Stevenson. Mark Thomas, owner of Watson Thomas Funeral Home, joins me in about 20 minutes. We have a few more minutes, though, now with Galesburg Mayor and noted local radio station owner John Pritchard. I appreciate, again, your time as always, John. You mentioned before the break the Park Plaza project, and it sounds to me like that's gotten a smidge behind schedule. Is that what we're hearing at this point?
Yeah, I think so. I don't, you know, I haven't really checked with Wayne Carl to get an update on that, but you know, I do see that they're starting to put in some curbing on the half of the lot that's torn up and so forth, and there's been some project adjustments to the Orpheum Theater, West Theater demolition. And so that, you know, there's that work is a little behind schedule. So
how problematic did the demolition of the West Theater become? It sounded like it was going to be sort of maybe a easy sort of a demolition, but then we ran into problems along the way.
Yeah, well, you know, again, it's this goes back to the earlier subject of, you know, renovations of old structures and so forth. You know, until you actually demolished the old building, you couldn't find out what the situation was with the walls of the remaining buildings. And of course, that turned out to needed some reinforcing and so forth. So that had to go through the process of getting approved by the council. And it was, and now it's underway, and but that takes time.
Yeah, it sounds though like it's become a much more costly project, I guess, than anticipated. In part because of the West Theater demo, in part because you're going to preserve this other building on Main and reinforce a wall and repair the roof there, they'll color me skeptical, all for just a few extra parking spaces.
Well, we're going to pick up 12 parking spaces. That's nice. But I think what we're also creating is that for the first time, we'll actually have restrooms available to the public in the downtown that aren't in a private business. That's a positive. But
sure,
we're creating the green space where the theater was, and we're going to reconfigure the Park Plaza part of the area into a much more useful space for holding different events and so forth. So I think, you know, and we're going to be preserving the other building, the 120 East Main Street building. So I think, I think, you know, in the beginning, if we'd realized all the costs and knew it exactly, maybe, you know, we would have thought twice, but I think it's going to be a real positive thing. And having even a small green space next to the Park Plaza will create some opportunities to do things and utilize the area.
The risk is going to be worth the reward then?
I think so.
Okay. I mentioned, since I said the words economic development in one of my, moving into one of my breaks here, I'll just touch on that real quickly since we're almost out of time. While we heard the news, the sad news that after moving downtown yesterday, Delino's is going to close likely at the end of the month. It strikes me as maybe that's been the exception to the rule in terms of economic development successes here in just this last half of the year alone.
Yeah. Well, one of the interesting things is we've seen, and this isn't the target focus of the economic development programs, but we've seen a lot of restaurants of different types come along and open up, and you know, at some point, you know, something's got to give. There's only, you know, we now have a Culver's, which has a large you know, has a huge crowds visiting it. We have another sandwich place, you know, coming. You know, we have a couple more restaurants that are, you know, literally under construction. And, Delino's moved from the Cottage Hospital building downtown. And I'm sad to see that didn't, you know, hasn't worked out for them. But, you know, we've also had the Gyro place there on Broad Street. And so, you know, it's a moving mix all the time.
Yeah, it certainly is. But certainly it seems like the good has kind of outweighed a couple of sad stories here.
Yeah,
overall.
Yeah. Jimmy's Pizza is now here. You know, that's very popular, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So a lot of good things have been happening. All right. We're almost out of time, but I know you told me during the break you wanted to put in a mention about the census. That's kind of, unfortunately, in a national standpoint, is kind of maybe had more controversy than it deserves, but the census on the whole, regardless of how that pans out, is still an important thing.
Yeah, we had a proclamation at the last council meeting, and we're going to be forming a complete count committee. This group is, you know, be from various areas of our community to make sure that that we manage to get every person counted in the census. You know, that's my goal. It's this year, this census, this time is going to be a little bit different because postcards are going to be mailed out to residences, and they're going to have the opportunity to go online to fill that out. That's a real change from the past, so we're concerned about, you know, educating people and getting them comfortable and familiar with that and so forth. And it's an important process. Economically, money is divvied up based on population, so mm-hmm. It's of economic importance to Galesburg and Knox County to get everybody counted.
Is there an idea of cost in terms of what the city stands to gain versus what the city stands to lose from the census? Or
yes,
that's kind of hard to say, though, isn't
it? Yeah. Well, it's kind of hard to say, but actually, and I didn't bring it with me this morning. It's in the other room, but something in the order of about a person is, in terms of the benefits that come to a community, is about $1,400 a year per person. So, you know, you miss 1,000 people, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's not insignificant.
Yeah, and it comes in various forms, whether it's, you know, Medicare or whatever. And it's also, the census is also used to determine, you know, districting for the U.S. House seats.
All right. So as much as that process, too, has been unnecessarily bent and adjusted and things like that over the years, too. So, on the whole, I think the financial end of it is probably the most important part of it.
Yes.
I have 30 seconds. Is there any other concerns or issues you have going into the second half of the year for the city?
In 30 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Gee whiz. I guess I'd mention Amtrak. We're still in the effort to preserve the long distance trains. I'll be attending a meeting with the Albuquerque mayor in September to talk about that. And we've been busy behind the scenes trying to, you know, keep support to maintain the long-distance trains. And the president of Amtrak continues to really want to dismantle the long-distance train service.
Mm. Gosh, don't get me started on that again. Because I just hit the music to indicate we're out of time.
Okay, so, very good.
Well, I'll be back soon either on Galesburg's Evening News or somewhere to talk about all this as it goes forward. We could have probably spent another 8 hours talking today, but gosh darn it, you have to get to Macomb.
That's right. All right. Thank you very much.
Mayor John Pritchard, thanks so much.